This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Lawn.tv, his YouTube channel, a couple hundred thousand subscribers. It's great stuff, from product reviews to a whole bunch of stuff. But he's a space junkie. And so whenever there's something, you know, cool going on in space, we always want to talk to Lawn. Lawn, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
You know, that stuff yesterday, again, they politicize everything. I mean, there are people saying that, you know, because it was Musk and SpaceX, media is not picking up. I don't know. I saw it all over the place. But I for me, like, that stuff never gets old, right? Watching that splashdown.
Right. Oh, it was amazing. Did you see the dolphins swimming next to it?
Yeah, I did. I did.
You couldn't have had it better. And the timing, the lighting was great. It was a great shot. Absolutely. But yeah, this got politicized, obviously, as everything does these days. And you've got corporate competitive issues here. I think Musk probably wanted to bring them back earlier. He probably was trying to figure out a way he can make it happen. It would have been a great thing for SpaceX to be able to, you know, get a mission, you know, scrape together and get it up there and get them back quickly. And I think he probably did ask somebody, and they said, no, we're going to stick to the schedule. Because he probably could have made it happen. It would have been far more risky because they would have had to move faster than they usually do. But I think NASA went with the least risky scenario, which was to keep the schedule. And that way, every vehicle they were sending up and bringing back had gone through their process of safety assurances.
You know, so we're talking with Lawn Seidman. Lawn.tv is his YouTube channel. Well, that was really my question. Like, why... You know, the Trump administration is saying that the Biden administration was too scared to do it. But, like, why did it take so long?
So they have a crew rotation schedule. So everybody goes up. They generally spend, you know, like a quarter up there. And so what happens is you have to have a vehicle that is ready to send them up. That vehicle stays at the space station because that's the lifeboat if they have to get off the station for whatever reason that might require them to leave. So you have, you know, a limited number of rockets and space capsules that can do that. I think SpaceX has four of them currently that they rotate through. SpaceX also, in between the NASA missions, they run commercial missions. So they send tourists up to the space station because you can stay there like a hotel for a couple of days, a very expensive hotel. But they also have been doing their own commercial space program, essentially. So right after... the mission that went up with the two astronauts to basically be the lifeboat for these two that were remaining up there. SpaceX had just launched their mission, or just around that time, launched their mission to test their commercial spacesuit, where they had depressurized the capsule and sent two of their astronauts out of the capsule in their own spacesuit. So that ship was configured for that. So it just wasn't feasible, I think, to get everything put together in time to do that. Meanwhile, they have a schedule they can keep. So the capsule that just took these folks down came up in September, and instead of the usual four crew members on it, they had two. So there was two seats left for these two to come back down with it. So there's just a lot of logistics, and there's Russians and the international partners, and it's just a very complicated kind of set of logistics up there.
So we can take politics out of the actual reason.
I think so. I mean, to some degree, if you know, I think if Trump was president and Musk said I could get them back earlier, he probably would have said go for it, because it would have been a cool adventure, right? But I think at the time NASA said no, we're not going to do it. I'm sure the Biden administration just went along with whatever NASA said they were going to do, and that was the end of it. But I'm sure he probably tried to make it happen. I don't doubt that.
We're talking with Lon Seidman from Lon.TV here on Brian & Company on WTIC News Talk 1080. I don't know if this is a fair question for you, because I don't know to what degree you follow this stuff, but like, what sort of like physical things are they going to have to deal with after up there for 9 or 10 months?
So I've talked to a number of astronauts doing some of my space coverage, which is always fun. And it all impacts them differently. The longer you're up there, the harder it is when you come back to Earth, because you're basically in free fall. You're weightless, but the reason why you're weightless is because you're in free fall in orbit around the Earth. So you can imagine what it feels like when you take a long jump off of something and your equilibrium getting all out of whack. And so when you come back, you have the weight of gravity, and then you also have the fact that you're no longer in free fall. So for some astronauts, it takes a really long time to recover from that. You'll see when they come out, they're often carried out. Just because the weight of gravity coming back all of a sudden is quite extreme, and their bodies go through a lot on the way down. So you go from being weightless to experiencing higher G's, you know, more of gravity than what you normally experience on Earth, to landing in the ocean and bobbing in the water. So it's a pretty rough thing. Some of the astronauts describe the actual impact as close to what it feels like being in a car accident. Because you are, you know, hitting the water in this case, but it's still, you know, coming down at a couple of miles per hour. So it's a lot.
Yeah. It looks light and fluffy, you know, but it's not. It's incredible stuff. And I do think that the film quality and the way they interact, I mean, I think the production folks with SpaceX are great, too, to be honest with you, because it is a show. And it's pretty compelling stuff. I'm curious. You know, we have another minute or two here. What else is going on in your tech world? Any interesting products? Anything going on in your viewing of AI stuff? I just didn't know, just generally, since you're so you know, enmeshed and immersed in this stuff, like, what's going on in your world?
You know, what's amazed me recently is the focus on efficiency. In other words, cramming more power, you know, useful computing power out of less physical power. And we're seeing that with Apple. You know, with all of the Apple laptops and desktops now, they're incredibly powerful, but they consume far less power from the wall. The AI models now, that DeepSeek model that came out of China, which was basically released open source to the world, is far more efficient than what ChatGPT and Google were doing. And they very quickly, their competitors quickly responded. And now there's a huge focus on trying to make these models better and more efficient, to the point now where in some cases, you can get useful models running on consumer-grade hardware without using the internet, right? So there's a real focus now on efficiency, and I think that's going to be the story moving forward here, because our phones will get more powerful, these AI models will be more useful, and you might be able to do a lot more, you know, without having to use large data centers. So that's been kind of keeping myself interested lately in where we're going with all that efficiency.
Awesome. Well, listen, we appreciate you hopping on and sharing with us some of your observations on this, on getting those two astronauts back to Earth after 9 or 10 months in space. And we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Very good. We'll talk soon.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.